You work for it, you try for it, but the credit doesn't go to you. If he doesn't want you, don't be him. So yes, you should be loved. Yes, the choice belongs to the beloved. You have to try your best. That's all you can do. Because it is sour to you, up to the point that he will make it sweet. Now, when his wishes comes, he wants to do it, what will happen? Until
it came to pass that the king, that the Myrmidons were holding back the people, saying, do not enter the fire. The Jew became black-faced and dismayed. He became sorry and sick at heart. Because the people grew more loving in their faith and more firm in mortification of the body. Thanks. The devil's plot caught him in its toils. Thanks. The devil saw himself disgraced.
This is not this strange. In the story, there is this stupid king, right? And an idol, a lady, a baby, the fire, all this. Now everybody is rushing towards the fire and the soldiers are trying to stop them. Who is thanking God here? Because we know what will happen later. Later in the next paragraph we'll hear that the king will come and will bring some excuses. Failure of the project means maybe it's something wrong with the fire. And we say, you fire, you change your nature. Or is it my fate to be like this? And the fire will say, well, I'm just saying, get closer a little bit. And we'll burn him. This hasn't happened yet. So the king is alive. Who is thanking God?
Rumi.
Rumi knows that he's talking about that magical moment that his attraction is in work. In that magical moment, Rumi comes and thanks to God that magical moment is always there. Because it's always happening like this. Some baby, one of us which is purer than the rest, will see the truth, will call us, and a lot of us will be attracted to that and will follow him. Thanks God. He made it like this. He made it in a way that that black water which is coming out of you will kill you. Doesn't bother the rest of us. A lot of us, we don't even notice that you're burning in your selfishness. Thanks God. There's always some attraction toward the goodness which is not part of our doing. If it was only to our doing, everything could be ruined or could be magically good. But it's up to him. So everything is always towards good. That's the sutra. Yes.
That which he was rubbing on the faces of those persons was all accumulated on the visage of that vile wretch.
Vile wretch, I don't know how vile wretch would do or not. The word is not cast. Cast means person. Right? Being a person, you are a caste. No caste means nobody. No one. Not a being. Something like that. And he was busy rending the garment.
And he who was busy rending the garment of the people, his own was rent. They were unhurt.
We saw this before, didn't we? In the first Jewish king, you remember the vizier killed himself over there. He said, look at you, your jealousy is killing you. and you call it intelligent act. Here you see, this is how it is. That selfishness will ruin your life, and you don't know it. Let's see what will happen to the king.
Are you tired or what? Go ahead.
How the mouth remained awry of a man who pronounced the name of Muhammad.
Listen carefully. In this paragraph, you read the rest of the story. Rest of the story is not in this paragraph. It's in the next one. There is one paragraph here in between that really talks about some points. Let's hear it carefully. Yes?
How the mouth remained awry of a man who pronounced the name of Muhammad, on whom be peace, derisively. He made his mouth wry and called Muhammad in derision. His mouth remained awry. He came back saying, "Pardon me, O Muhammad, O thou to whom belong the favors and knowledge immediately from God. In my folly I was ridiculing thee, but I myself was related to ridicule and deserving it."
What does that mean? First of all, this is an example, okay? And you will not hear the reaction of Muhammad. He just talked like this, that somebody pronounced the name of Muhammad badly. His mouth was distorted. He came back and said, "Oh Muhammad, forgive me, I was stupid." Then what happened? Nothing. You don't hear the rest of the story. Because he wants to make one point here. It's not the story, it's an example. Not about the guy and the Muhammad. About you and that attraction over there. You remember, we're talking about something that you think is not there. But it's really there. And something that you think is there, and it's not. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Existence, non-existence? What was that all about? Let those philosophies apart. But what is this existence, non-existence stuff? Here we are talking about one special aspect of us. One force that exists, and you really know it, and you really rely upon it, is your own effort, right? And this one is nonsense to us. It doesn't exist really. You know what really exists? He is helping you every single moment that exists. But you don't think about that, and you don't count on that. You don't rely upon that, because for you, that doesn't exist. Let's see, today, from early in the morning that you woke up to now, what happened in your life? All of you thought about the things you did, and none of you thought about the things that was done for you. The attraction. Maybe he played with the heart of your heart. Maybe it was not tuned, so it made a silly noise. But that part, when I talk about it, it's yes, that part is what? What was the name of this? Metaphysics! Yes, metaphysics doesn't exist really. Physics exists. Me, my power, my effort, right? In this paragraph, he tried to explain that you don't notice it, but in your life. Your life contains chances of remaining alive, given to you. Not you making it happen, or grabbing it, or in any manner making it happen. You believe that it happens without your effort and blah blah like that. That non-existence and existence universe, one of it is here. He will talk about that existence and non-existence. You see, it's like this. When he wants to lead you towards some something. That living exists. You know how?